Hello, the internet, and welcome to this special Monday Memorial Day edition of
El Daily Zeitgeist.
Ooh, El Daily Zeitgeist.
God. Whoa.
I don't know, man. It just
Radio
came out,
bilingue.
You know?
Dale.
My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right. It's Memorial Day. Remember all the people who put down their lives so we can get mad at NFL players kneeling.
I think is the gist of it. But also shout out to everybody out there enjoying their Monday. I have no AKA today because let's just get into it. We asked you guys for questions. A lot of you guys have questions about us personally, about how the show is made, how the sausage is created.
Too bad.
Yeah, so fuck you. All right, and that's it, guys. Check out, you can find me at Miles Gray. Yes, so I guess, Jack, we'll just kind of comb through these.
Yeah. Why don't
hashtags?
You start off with the one that you found most intriguing?
Which probably comes from one of my favorites, at Edgar Montplaisir says, why do you constantly disrespect me by having at Jamie Loftus help on More Than Me? Well, the answer is simple, my guy. Jamie is blackmailing
us.
The best.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
No, we love Jamie, but you know what? A lot of people are trying to come for Jamie's throne. Just don't try it. You know,
yeah.
She's steadily in the lead, but it's no disrespect.
For people who are new to the TDZ, Jamie Loftus is the guest we've had on most by quite a bit,
yeah.
And Edgar is in second place. And, you know, people get competitive about that sort of stuff.
But you got Culture Kings, Edgar. You know what
I mean?
Why don't you have Jamie on Culture Kings?
All right. They asked at Kitten Proponent, Hannah on Twitter. Ask, what musical moment makes you feel unstoppable? Speaking of, did you guys ever listen to Emotion by Carly Rae Jepsen?
I remember she was like, yo, don't sleep on Carly Rae. And
right.
I did listen to it. It didn't speak to me, but I understand the energy of that song. So I'm not going to shame you for liking Carly Rae Jepsen.
It did
just
speak
not my
to me,
cup of tea.
And it caused me to feel invincible. I walked into traffic and broke a leg. So
and I walked into a buzzsaw.
You, Hannah.
But what's your favorite musical moment?
Dude, so much makes me feel invincible.
What's a song that I remember when I was listening to like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, when I was looking about that, there was like a state that you want to get into, a confidence state, and they say sometimes songs can put you in this sort of like this higher level of confidence. Ironically, this song that I like is a really obscure electronic track by an artist called Ben Frost, called The Theory of Machines. And like it's like an 8-minute long song that just gets more and more intense. And like by the end, I feel like I could go out there and just score a triple-double on these 9-year-olds at the YMCA.
Yeah. Of course, Miles is very, you know, obscure and cool. And the beginning of Bombs Over Baghdad always does it for
yep.
me. Wu-Tang 7th Chamber Part 2, when the beat comes in, does it for me.
Okay.
And then a bunch of Walkman songs, actually. The Rat, In the New Year, Victory. Those all make me feel invincible.
Oh, nice. Okay.
What
else? Let's see another one. Ooh. Do you guys ever fight? So this is from Cubone Fan. I remember last time you did AK and you corrected me. Cubone Fan 3 asks, do you guys ever fight, argue off the air? Sometimes I hear Jack's tone and he sounds like he's bottling a lot of rage. We do not fight off the air. We don't even really talk off the air.
Yeah, no.
It's like the second...
Strict policy.
The second Nick hits stop on the recording, I act like I don't know Jack.
Yep.
And then it's very tense because
very
he
troubling.
Is... I wonder why they think you're bottling a lot of rage.
Yeah, it's interesting. It might be that like my voice sometimes gets shaky, but that's just because I'm getting emotional
intentional tremor, as you
call it. Or nervous.
Yeah.
Or intention tremor.
Intention tremor.
But that never happens with my voice. That's just my hands. But that is something that I have where the more fine the motor function that I try to do, the more delicate, the more my hand shakes.
Huh.
So that is one of the many curses I live with.
Hit him up for some frontier surgery.
I don't know. We started working together less than a year ago. We don't really... I'm still in that phase where I'm way too, you know, scared to be mean to Miles. But eventually I'll get there where I'm just going to be
Dan O'Brien has told me about how you were cracked. Just ripping people's heads off.
Yeah.
That's why they worked so well, guys. It was under the threat of just annihilation.
Yeah.
This actually leads into this other one at Justin T7. And many other people have asked, how did you and I meet? Do we know each other for the show? What was it like putting this whole thing together? Jack and I met because Her Majesty, my girlfriend, used to be the head of production at Cracked. And from there, I was just kind of going to little office parties, getting to know everybody. And then Jack and I started kind of like looking at each other's sneakers and each other's eyes. And we're like, okay, you might be from the same planet.
Right.
And then I guess one of the first moves was like when you asked me to read to sort of audition for the Personal Experience podcast.
Right.
That Robert Evans was doing.
Right.
And then Brandon Johnson, who is one of the best guests we've had recently, got that gig.
Right.
And then so I stopped talking to Jack completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
then I wanted him to be nice to me again, so I hired him for this gig.
Yeah.
No, it was actually a tryout process. So first person I talked to when I knew I was leaving Cracked was Miles's girlfriend is actually, I think I've said before, one of the smartest people I know in this industry. And so I just kind of told her my plan to do a daily show and that I was, you know, going to need a co-host. And she was like, oh, you know, Miles is looking for something, maybe. And I was like, oh, great. She's trying to sell me her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And
then, how that turned out.
Yeah. And then we tried out like 20 different people, and Miles was the best. So
thank you.
That's how that happened.
It was a true meritocracy mixed with nepotism, y'all.
Yeah. But also, when he first came to the Cracked Christmas party, I was like, Rosie, your boyfriend's so cool. Like, where does he shop for his clothes and stuff like that? And she was really
like,
weirded out.
Yeah,
she was like,
my
stop.
Secret, I shop out of the Delia's catalog.
Right.
Yeah, and I think also doing this show, before this, I was working at Condé Nast making like videos for like Vogue and Vanity Fair and Wired magazine. And I needed to, I don't know, with the political climate, I was really looking to get my opinion out there or at least contribute to something that society could take in rather than me just convincing Jaden Smith to make really weird looks into camera for videos. And I legit tried to apply for something at Crooked Media because I was like, yo, I got to get out of this, like, this digital thing I'm getting into. And then, yeah, lo and behold, it was like serendipitous that you hit me up because I was like, I'm looking to do this exact thing.
We're
so
making
thank
our
you,
own Crooked Media here.
Yeah, we just got crooked backs because we have scoliosis.
Right. And second-rate Crooked Media. yeah, Miles is used to be like a viral video machine. So that's something somebody was like,
that.
Are you guys ever going to start making videos? If we do, you guys will hear about it because Miles is a viral.
Because I get hits.
Yeah. All right. If there is a biopic, who would be in the cast?
Oh,
They're specifically asking about Cracked stuff, but there's too many people to cast there. So
is that the one
us.
Where someone said like Soren looks so young so Soren could play
himself? Yeah. It was just a thirst post for
I've
Soren.
I've seen Soren in the flesh and
God. Dude looks like he's...
Do you remember when...
the Crypt Keeper in person.
Well, yeah, or
in
Game of Thrones when Homegirl takes the necklace off. That's what Soren looks like, except much younger. Who would play... I don't know. Jack is eating an ice cream, so if you guys are looking... Super producer Nick Stump just bolted out of his seat and said, what's that sound? It's Jack having a nice ice cream.
So good, though.
Yeah, we're treating ourselves. So for me, a lot of people jokingly say I look like Mark Dacascos, who is the host of Iron Chef America. Yeah, I get it. He's like this Hawaiian dude. Just as racially ambiguous as I am. So I guess I could have someone older than me, much older than me, play me in the film. But I'm sure there's many youngins out there with the Blasian DNA that could probably play me. But I think if my future self, I would be Mark Dacascos.
The person who asked this question said I should be Logan Lerman, who is somebody who's too young for me to know who it is, it seems like. But sure. I think I would go like David Schwimmer or
David Schwimmer
or Matt Dillon, but only if he reprised his character from Something About Mary.
Pat Healy playing
Pat Healy.
Jack O'Brien.
Yeah, Pat Healy as Jack O'Brien.
This other one. Someone asks, let me just pump my own ego up. How did Miles perfect the vocal crack on the yeah at the beginning? I don't know. I like microphones a lot, and I just like hearing my own voice. So there's really no secret to that aside from my ego.
Yeah. Miles can do all the things with
his voice. I do like voices. That's one thing that I'll slowly probably be doing more of. I was not in my comfort zone in the beginning when we first started recording, which I'm sure you can hear. God, if we listen to those old episodes, we probably sound like robots, or at least it feels like we were more robotic than now.
I mean, I probably sound exactly the same because Because
you're a pro.
Yeah. Well, I'd been doing a podcast for a while, but... Yeah, I also was shooting lasers at you with my eye the whole time.
Yeah,
so.
That was very distracting.
yeah, literal lasers.
quite literally.
If DZ started under the Obama administration, what would have been your favorite stories to discuss from Angela Martinez Do you think we could have done this show under the Obama administration? Is my question to you, Miles.
Yes, of course we could have, because I think there's still, the Obama presidency was not perfect. That was not a perfect time in American history. I guess there was less controversy, so we were able to focus less on things that were controversial. Maybe the outrage level may not have been quite as high, but there are many things, too, that I think we could have advocated for during the Obama administration, like really having Congress do something with their majority and things like that. But I don't know. It's hard to know because I think we're in such a cataclysmic, chaotic era that it sort of begs for people to kind of help navigate it a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, The Daily Show existed during the Obama administration. I mean, like, there's plenty of absurdity to point out in the world. I think maybe we're just more politics-centric because Trump is really affecting our day-to-day.
Right.
So it's easy to talk about him all the time. But there would be no shortage of things to be outraged about, whether it's in America or the rest of the world.
During the Obama administration, we would have basically been like the Man Show. Have you guys heard of the Man Show?
Yeah, just wildly just problematic. Yeah, exactly. You guys would have, oh my goodness. I'm just like, yeah, Jack, I don't know, man. Like, who's the hottest chick in Congress to you, doggy?
At Layla Lately asked, could you give us a list of all the podcasts you listen to? You're always referencing really good ones. Miles, do you have any podcasts you want to shout out?
I love the Arscast from arsblog.com, which is an Arsenal podcast. Shout out to Andrew over there. I don't know him personally, but I listen to that podcast really regularly. I like the Football Ramble, which is another football soccer-centric podcast. I do like Improv for Humans from time to time because I am a huge UCB Original Four fan, so I like Matt Besser, even though he's whiny sometimes. What else?
Ooh, coming at Besser.
Yeah. I mean, the usual stuff. You know, I listen to, like, This American Life pretty regularly. But, you know, I found myself, as my commute has been shortened, I used to have longer commutes, and that coincided with me listening to so many podcasts at a much more intense rate that I kind of whittled it down to, like, a few. Oh, and obviously Bodega Boys.
Right.
Obviously, that's off top. We'll always be the biggest Desus and Mero fan. As you could tell, we reference Desus and Mero stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And yes, they're like some of my favorites.
One that is kind of obscure that one of our fans actually suggested to me is Rational Security, that has a bunch of kind of people who used to be in national security and report on national security, talking about national security issues on a weekly basis. That's pretty good. And Introducing is a podcast where I only started listening to it because one of the guys from Chapo Trap House was on there talking about Kanye and the aftermath of the whole Kanye meltdown. And I can't say anything about the podcast in general, but that episode is really, really great. The Kanye West episode of And Introducing, Chapo Trap House, Last Podcast on the Left, you guys, is so good. Reply All is good. Slow Burn was great. I don't know if, I think they're going to do a second season of Slow Burn, but the first one was basically telling you what Watergate was like in the moment. Obviously, Culture Kings, the Bechdel cast, Ethnically Ambiguous, Raised by TV with John Gabris.
Oh, yeah.
Former guest John Gabris and Lauren Lapkus. Stuff You Should Know is the name of this obscure podcast you guys have probably never heard of. Still Processing with Wesley Morris and Jenna Wortham is a great podcast. Revisionist History, the Malcolm Gladwell podcast.
Literally reading you all a list. I'm so sorry about this.
I'm giving you all the. Hey, I think.
Nick,
I think,
wake up in there.
All right. And Are You Talking REM? Read me. All right. That's enough. That's halfway down.
How about this one? A little more process wise. Brent Liberati at Sir Brentsworth asks, how cut down are your episodes? Is what's released pretty much the entire recording session, or is there a lot that gets marked? It pretty much is the entire episode. We tighten it up a bit, but for the most part, you are hearing the recording session.
Yeah, and then we should get the answer to that question from super producer Nick Stumpf, and he'd be like, oh, Jesus, you should hear these guys before we cut them down.
All the ums and ahs. And
oh, my god!
Miles saying fuck so much. I think another person said, does Miles know another word other than fuck? Fuck? No, I don't.
Did they really?
Yeah. But I don't think, I don't crazy. Know. I don't know if they were taking a shot at me, but either way, I think it's a beautiful word.
Somebody asked, should we adopt the Mario Kart, the closer you are to first place, the less useful power-ups you get, ideology for our economy? Saw this on a forum and think it might be the best analogy ever. Yeah, I think we should do that. I think our tax code is kind of written with that general idea in mind, but I do think that we could make that a stronger, you know, computer assistance for poor people and the not extremely wealthy. So that's a good idea.
What about this, Jack? At Dead Neb, Nicholas Spear asks, what is the best sandwich?
What is the best sandwich?
Let's make it easy.
I know you've already made your best sandwich.
Well, the shooter sandwich, if you don't remember from a past episode, Andrew T. came on and blessed us with how to make the shooter sandwich, an unfortunate name, considering the time we're in right now. But that is a beautiful sandwich. But I think let's limit it. What is the best sandwich you can get in L.A. for you, Jack? What's your favorite sandwich
you
get in
L.A.? Best sandwich you can get in L.A. Huh.
That's even tough, too, because we got a lot of sandwiches. I'll tell you one of my favorites right now, the chicken salad sandwich at Bay City's Deli.
That's a good sandwich.
I love that. And I love chicken salad. I don't, everyone likes
the grandma
and stuff. Yeah. Or the godmother, rather.
The godmother.
But, oh, man, I love chicken salad sandwich.
I guess I'd go godmother from Bay City's. That bread is so good.
It's the bread. Half the battle is the bread.
Okay. Krista Diamond asks, what do you guys think about the Vegas Golden Knights? I live in a bubble of rampant Golden Knight fandom here in Las Vegas. Herself included, and I'm curious to hear what people outside of our fair city think about this inaugural season. Miles, this is more up your alley.
Yeah, I think they're doing great. They're having a great season. They shocked everyone. I'm not as tapped into the NHL as I used to be, but I always keep my eye on the standings and things like that. So, I mean, my take is it seemed like out of the tragedy from the shooting last year in October, the team is like, I don't know. I don't know if that had anything to do with the performance, but the team was playing very well at the time I was watching. So good for them. I always like to see expansion teams doing well, and I didn't consider Vegas a big hockey city, but hey, you never know. Which reminds me, that many people have also asked me about hockey because I've talked about playing hockey for most of my life, and I'll give you the breakdown. I started playing hockey when I was about 4 years old, and I played all the way through high school. Someone, I think Michael Constable, asked if I was a scouted. No, I was never playing at that level. By the time I was like 13, I was playing less and less competitively. Fun fact, one of my teammates on the Pasadena Maple Leafs was CNN, now CNN anchor and host Nick Valencia. So that man on CNN was one of my teammates. He is a fucking insane winger. Check him out. He's nice with it. Just watch out for us California guys. We can still play. One of my favorite players, Luke Robitaille and Brian Leetch. I had the Brian Leetch heel curve stick, scoring a lot of wrist shots from the blue line. And that's just for the hockey fans. So, yeah, there's that.
How bad did your equipment smell when you played hockey?
Oh, my God.
Hockey equipment, for people who haven't been around hockey players, is the worst smelling shit because it's like too big to wash.
Yeah.
And so it's just athletic gear that never gets washed.
Yeah, especially when I hit puberty and like my mom was just like, you need to pick a different sport because I don't even get this bag. Like I had to keep my hockey bag in the garage. What about we want to do a music question, Jack? How about this? Because we like hip hop. At Quit Everything asks, specifically for you, but Jack can answer too. He doesn't realize Jack is also a hip hop head. What are your top three 90s New York hip hop albums? Now, I don't know if I can limit it to three because I don't want to mess anything up.
Right.
But I will tell you Gangstar, Tribe Called Quest are some of my favorite New York rappers. Obviously, Jay-Z is. If I'm just going to say like a 90s New York hip-hop album, just to be weird, there's obviously gospel albums
right.
like that are just in the canon.
I'll say
all
those.
Time.
So
all the Mobb Deep albums
ones.
And other shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I always have a place in my heart for like the Ruckus Records kind of shit. Mos Def's Black on Both Sides is one album that I just, man, like really kind of opened up my mind a bit when that
was
came
out.
Was that
90s?
Yeah, I think that came out in 1999.
I guess mine would be, Jay-Z, Hard Knock Life, Volume 2, Illmatic, and Strictly Built for Cuban Links.
There you go.
Would probably be my three.
See? So pull up. And then it said East Coast or West Coast. Very different. I'm from the West Coast, so I always be like, West Side, but I love East Coast hip-hop, too. I like them all, man. The 90s was just such a golden era for hip hop that it's hard for me to. I honestly can't pick sides and like to do that East versus West.
Yeah.
Shit is
and in fact,
out.
The people, the rappers who have chosen not to pick a side, I think are creating the best music. Like Kendrick is, you know, heavily influenced by all coasts and, you know, has really brought both sides together. Like, I think that's probably the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple good rap albums out. Last Friday, I guess, at this point, since people are listening to this on Monday.
At Certified Genius genius, but I'm guessing is a pun, a play on the name Jen, is who does your scripts? Shout out to your kick-ass writers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have two writers, Sam Roundman and J.M. McNabb, who basically, I guess this also answer other people's questions about sort of how do we comb through the news. Jack listens to a lot of the morning podcasts for sure, right? Don't you listen like almost every single daily podcast?
Yeah, and like morning? A bunch of weekly news ones. Right. Just kind of cram all those into my brain.
Yeah, I just comb like every news and political website daily. That's what a lot of my day is, and just internalizing all that. And then we kind of come in the morning and start putting stuff in this bloated Google Doc that we have. And just start throwing around ideas. And then our writers will actually put in like kind of sort of more fleshed out stories for us to do. But in terms of writing, this isn't really scripted. I mean, we do write our sort of commentary about it. But yeah, like I don't know if script is the best word.
Yeah, it's more like a paragraph that one of us has thought up on like the subject or like that kind of explains where we're coming from. The writers kind of write out longer things, and then we pick and choose from what they wrote out, like what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest is just kind of using those as a jumping off point and kind of coming up with stuff in studio.
Mm-hmm.
D-Day Dinglehopper asks, if I get you in, will you come to Burning Man and then let me interview you on your experience? In parentheses, I can get you in.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll go.
Yeah, me too. All right. So
hold on. But I have to do the scumbag Silicon Valley version,
right.
Where all the
helicopter.
poor people have to stay away from me. I want to do the problematic version of Burning Man. No, I mean I would fucking.
We should do that at some point. Probably not in the next couple years for me, since I have very young children that
bring
I have to
them.
Help out with.
Bring them to the playa.
And just the whole family naked.
And other people were giving us heat when we were saying, like, oh, the biggest party is the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, it's the Indy 500. And then other people were like, actually, if you think about it, Burning Man becomes a city suddenly in the middle of nowhere. So,
yeah, yes. I think Burning Man has them all in terms of size of party. And just when I was first starting out the Cracked podcast, one of the very early episodes, I just interviewed Michael Swaim about his time at Burning Man, and it was just one of the more interesting conversations I had in my entire time doing that podcast. So I am intrigued by that event and doing that sober. That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? This is from Salvia Plath, who she tweets at us a lot.
Salvia Plath.
I'm not going to assume your gender. But at Jack, I distinctly remember that on an episode of the Crack Podcast, you said that capitalism was good. Do you still believe that?
Huh. That's a good question. I think overall, I don't think it's wholly good. I would definitely say. I don't think really any ideology I've ever heard of is wholly good in like a pure sense. I think it's done a lot of great things, and I guess I would probably side in the direction of whoever said that quote about it being terrible, except when you compare it to all the other systems we have for running a world.
Okay, this is another one. It says, ask DZ, what are the skills you need to produce or super produce a podcast? The skills, I mean, being a producer is really just about being organized and remembering to facilitate the production as much as possible. We're lucky that between Anna getting all the guests in here and Nick and the team of editors getting it sounding right, Jack and I have to do very little thinking in terms of that part of it, and we can focus on our thing. Yeah. But I think in general, just got to be, you know, down to collaborate. That's really all that it is. I think in my past, I've met producers who don't like to collaborate and just want to control everything, and that doesn't work because productions are ultimately collaborations. So just have a spirit of collaboration.
Yeah. Just for some background, super producer Nick Stumpf, his background is in the music industry. He's a really talented musician. And super producer Anna Hosnier is just very knowledgeable of the comedy scene in LA. So, yeah, they are the best at what they do. And we're really lucky. And a lot of what is good about the show just kind of invisibly or silently comes through from their work and the work they put in.
Absolutely. Oh, this is a good one. Mike Mann at Not That Mike Mann asks, is there a way back from Trumpism? Yes. I mean, inevitably, everything evolves. So I think there is a way back. But it's very possible, too, that it could be a very long way back.
Yeah.
I hope there's not... my biggest fear is that there has been permanent damage done, and there will be long-lasting damage, no doubt about that. I guess if Trumpism is interchangeable with, you know, racism and xenophobia, probably not in our time. Will there be a way back from that? Unless, you know, we all open our hearts and accept love in.
Mm.
But I don't know, Jack, what do you think?
No way back in terms of ever returning to the world as it was before Trumpism. I think we will be wiser. We will be stuck with some really shitty judges who will probably do some lasting permanent damage to the country. And, you know, I think in the same way that, you know, having streaming video of all the horrible police shootings and all that shit has, you know, wisened people or opened people's eyes to, you know, bad shit that is going on. I think Trumpism has done the same thing to sort of some nascent aspects of, you know, the American populace that people weren't taking seriously enough. And I don't think there's any way to get people back to being as politically disengaged as they were prior to Trumpism.
Yeah.
I think people are now too aware of, you know, what's at stake. So I don't think there's any way back. And I think in some ways that's a good thing. Kevin something, at Kevin something, literally his name, asks, why doesn't Jack ever know what to do with his hands in the daily pick? So this is partially, like, there are a couple pictures that people really seized on where I was intentionally doing funny things with my hands. But for the most part, that is because I'm being self-conscious or, like, trying to be self-referential about the fact that I really just don't know what to do with my hands.
Playing it up.
Not in just the daily pictures, but just in general. It's just always been a thing. Like, when I walk into a room and there are people in that room, I remember specifically walking into a lunchroom in high school, and like just the second I knew there was like one person looking at me, like I just like suddenly be conscious of the fact that I didn't know what to do with my hands. And I'd like put them in my pocket, but then like try walking with your hands in your pocket, it like feels weird. So yeah, then I would put them like on my back, like Forrest Gump at the end of Forrest Gump. Anyways.
A little chicken posture.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Miles? Why do you know what to do with your hands?
Well, little known fact is my father would actually do seminars on hand placement for photographs as a photographer. So I grew up in a house of being drilled on proper hand placement and imagery and photographs. So I guess that's just my privilege.
You make it look so natural.
I do. And guys, it's a lot of hard work, you know, so don't come down on Jack because he wasn't raised the way I was. Right. And that's not his fault.
I just have my hands floating out in front of me right now.
Oh, this is a good question for you, Jack. At Comic and Sans asks, Jack has discovered some of my favorite internet content creators. What do you look for when you're sourcing talent? Because, yeah, I feel like you created a thing at Crack that was just churning out some real heavy hitters in terms of ideas, content creation, humor.
Yeah.
Do you look for something?
I mean, it's really just the stuff that gets me excited personally and the stuff that people and writers who make me laugh out loud is really what it comes down to. And, you know, there's just when you get in a room with somebody and they're really talented, there's just a certain energy that starts creating itself. So I've just been lucky enough to run into the right people and have good enough chemistry with them to realize how great they are.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
not a helpful answer, but.
Well, no, it felt helpful.
Yeah.
People Are Strange asks, a few weeks ago I heard you mention merch. When y'all starting doing live shows? But will the merch also be available online? My Dutch heart needs some TDZ merch as well. Ehrlich, really? You do? Okay, shout out to you, my guy. Okay, yes, a lot of you have been asking us about live shows, and yes, cast out of the bag, we are planning to do some live shows. So stay tuned for that, because it's going to be so crazy when you guys hear that theme song, babies will be born, and all the rights of the universe will be wrong.
Exploding in the room.
Or the wrongs will be
righted. People's heads will be exploding. Somebody asked, who is your dream guest? Who's your dream guest, Miles?
My dream guest would be, man.
Mine? Carl Tart, but he would never come back on.
He would never come back on. Oh, yeah, people asking about the band. There's no band. That's just fun. That's just jokes. Yo, my dream guest, maybe Arsene Wenger, the Arsenal manager. I would really love to talk to him. It would have nothing to do with the Daily Zeitgeist.
Mine too. That would be a great episode. What does Jamie Loftus help smell like? These are all from Lauren Passell. Jamie smells wonderful. But
smell like a Zamboni.
Like very, very savory and like a Zamboni
savory.
At the same time.
You're describing a hot sandwich?
Yeah, exactly.
What would Jack do if he found out his kid stole or hit another kid?
If he stole another kid, I would be fucking amazing. I would be so impressed.
Or hit
by
another
him.
Kid.
If he hit another kid, I mean, that's something that just happens among two-year-olds. And I have had this experience both having him hit another kid and be hit by other kids. And it's hard not to laugh. And you just have to, you know, get in there and say no. And it's very weird because I also have a lot of experience having dogs. And I'm like, no, bad. And then I realize that I'm doing the thing that you do when you train dogs. So I'm not a good parent. That's a really good question for somebody who's a better parent.
Someone just pulled the curtain back on Jack.
Yeah.
Also, this is one of my
I push his face in it, make him smell it.
This is what assault smells like. At Scrint asks, can you guys talk about Ethan Hawke for a bit?
Finally.
I really laughed at this because
this
it's so
amazing.
Stupid. Yo, Ethan Hawke, shout out to you. You were such a heartthrob in the 90s. I felt like every girl in my middle school, junior high school was obsessed with Ethan Hawke.
When I first moved to New York in like 2004, Ethan Hawke was out there. Lots of young women had run-ins with Ethan Hawke where he would, you know, put his Ethan Hawke-ness out there and just let it be known that, you know, he may be married, but he's still Ethan Hawke. So, yeah, Ethan Hawke. If you want to know more about Ethan Hawke, I bet you can just, like, go to some bars in the meatpacking district and run into him.
Exactly.
Please speak some Japanese. Please.
Oh, that's
thank
genius
you.
Again.
Yeah, certified genius.
まあ、みんなが前ですがどう、まあ、日本語喋るかどうか聞いてるものだから。
Yes, I do speak Japanese. I could probably speak more on the show. I don't know how many people will understand. But yes, everyone who's speaking Japanese out there, shout outs to y'all. We're bilingual. And maybe I'll just do a podcast where I just talk Japanese with my mom because y'all seem to really like her savagery over texts.
Jen-san, konnichiwa. まあ本当にいつも聞いてもう本当に嬉しいですからありがとうございました。
Exactly.
So thank you for listening. Thank you, listening, Ma.
Okay, now Miles, your turn to speak Japanese. That was me.
That was Jack.
Japanese.
You're right. Okay. Okay. Boku wa ichiban suki na podcasto ga Daily Zeitgeist desu.
I mean, I don't know why I'm even trying to keep going after that Ethan Hawke question. Nobody's gonna beat that. So I think it might be time to wrap this up and go enjoy our Memorial Day mattress sales.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, guys, thanks so much for this. I hope this wasn't a total bummer for you. And we really love the questions. I really just want to take this opportunity to thank the Zeit Gang in
Zeit
general.
Zeit Gang!
Y'all are really dope. You're so engaged. All of our guests can't stop talking about how engaged you are, how nice you are.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we're contributing to a show that attracts people that are empathetic and sincere and genuine. And it's not just a bunch of fuckery in our mentions.
Yeah.
It's a
it
lot
really
of
warms our heart when you guys are so nice to our guests. Having written and worked on the internet for a while, I know that's not always the case. So it's really exciting and heartwarming to have created a pretty cool
community. Yeah, and we can't wait to see y'all when we start doing some live shows too.
You.
Because I would love to put some faces to these faces that I see on Twitter avatars.
Yeah.
But yeah, to meet y'all in the flesh.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for this special Memorial Day episode of the Daily Zeitgeist. We will see you guys at Burning Man, I guess. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. Miles?
Follow me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Y'all already knew that. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.